Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Be reading verses 30 through 32. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. And I'd like for you to stand, if you can, with me as we read God's word this morning and look into what he has to say for us. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit open up your truths this morning, that your word would become evident in how it's working in our lives and how we need to apply it. Make it clear to us, Lord. We thank you for your word that guides us. And this morning, guide us with your Spirit into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We spent some time away on a family vacation this last week, or a little over a week ago, and had a lot of fun with my brothers and my sister's daughter and her family now, and we just had a good time hanging out. I did a little golfing, did a little fishing, did a little bowling. Don't get the wrong idea. I didn't par any hole. Came close once. And I didn't catch any fish. I lost a lure. It wasn't mine, so I didn't have any stake in the game. But didn't catch a fish. And my first game, didn't even break 100. It was pathetic. It really was. I mean, but if that's what my goal was for this vacation, is to get a hole in one, or to catch a 10-pound bass, or to get a 200. I don't know what's the top score in bowling. I don't even know. 300. Okay, I wouldn't have put that goal out there. But anyway, to like break 100 at least, I would have been kind of disappointed. But my goal was to enjoy time with my family. And that I did. I enjoyed hanging out with my brothers and my nieces and nephews and my son and my daughters and son-in-law and the rest of the whole clan. It's fun. It's enjoyable. But all too often, sometimes our vacations leave us exhausted. And the day we get back from our vacation is like, I don't want to even get up. I don't want to even go to work. I'm so exhausted. I think God has some things to say to us about how we vacation, how we spend our time off of work. So often, we forget to take God along with us. Or maybe more accurately, we ignore the fact that God is with us all the time and we just shut him off. We want to just shut down everything and do what we want to do, when we want to do it. Nobody telling us what to do. It's my vacation, right? Unfortunately, the temptation to vacate our faith causes us to turn to activities to find peace, to find that lift that we're looking for, and that encouragement that we might be finding or looking for, that renewal. And those activities only leave us thirsting for more. They never really fulfill the desires that we have. We end up running away from the source of our rest and renewal, and that's Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to look at some of the things in the Scripture that how Jesus responded to rest. And in our passage here, to give it a little more background, Jesus had sent out the disciples two by two and gave them authority over clean spirits, and he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and go preach to the multitudes and meet the needs that are in the multitudes. That was in verse 7 and 8 of that same chapter. And in verse 12, they went out and they preached that men should repent. They had a message to give, and they had help to give to the people. And in verse 13, they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. I don't know if you're in the health industry, you know how it is to be working on people who have ailments, who need help constantly. It drains on you, the provider. Jesus knew that. And on top of all that, Jesus had just heard the horrific, brutal death that his forerunner had just experienced, the beheading of John the Baptist by Herod, King Herod. He had just gotten the news, and if Jesus wept when he heard about his friend Lazarus, do you think he had some emotions and turmoil about what had just happened to John the Baptist? His own life was being impacted by this dear friend that had baptized him, that had prepared the way for him to be baptized, or for him to be ministering. He had prepared the way for him. Now he gets the news that he was beheaded. What a horrific thing to try to digest. And his disciples had just come back. They had been helping and helping people who were in all kinds of dire straits. And in verse 30, they gathered together with Jesus. Maybe they were excited, but I'm guessing they were wore out. They had to have been tired as could be. And they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And I could imagine them talking about so-and-so, the demonic that was there. He was demon-possessed for all his life, and we were able to set him free with the help of God's Spirit. And this person over here had a lame leg, and we helped them, we healed them, and so on and so forth. The list was endless, no doubt. But their weariness was evident. And Jesus said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place, to a quiet place, and rest a while. There were so many people demanding their assistance. It'd be like you're on a 24-hour shift and you never got a break, you never got to sit down, and you never got a chance to take a meal in. You just kept going because the demand was so great. That's what this situation was like. And they hadn't eaten. They were wore out. And Jesus says, come away. Notice, he says, come. He doesn't say, go. Go get yourself something to eat. Go find a place in the desert and relax a little bit. No, he says, come. Come. Let's go to a secluded place and let's get refreshment. Come. He's saying, come with me. Join me. Don't go away from me. You're not going to find rest if you go away from me. Come with me and I'll show you rest. And I will give you rest. And he took them to a quiet place, a secluded place by themselves. The irony of it was they got to this secluded place, and people had beaten them there to it, and they had more needs to minister to it. I don't know how God does it, but sometimes we don't seem to be able to get that rest, but somehow God provides that rest on the trip to that secluded place or whatever. But I know the needs of the disciples were, Jesus had the needs foremost, and he met their needs. Edwin R. Roberts of Princeton Seminary once sat under a pastor who concluded his announcements saying, "I'm not going to take a vacation this summer. The devil never does." Roberts went home and reread the Gospels to see what Jesus' attitude is about this. And he found out that of his 3 years of active ministry, there were mentioned 10 periods of retirement. This was in addition to the nightly rest and the weekly Sabbath rest that Jesus had. Whose example should we follow? The devil's? Matthew 14, 23, Jesus slipped away and spent time in prayer. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer. Jesus gives us the example for rest and renewal. And if Jesus needs to do this, how much more should we need the same? There's three R's that come out of God's Word that I want to call your attention to this morning that can help us make the most of our vacation time or our downtime from work. Rest. The first R, rest. God rested from His work, as we heard here earlier in Genesis 2, verse 3. He commands us to do the same in the Ten Commandments. Jesus modeled it. Jesus modeled rest Himself. And when the disciples needed a break, Jesus took them aside to a secluded place to get rest and refreshment. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 29. Christ is our source of rest. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." There it is again. Come. It doesn't say go. Go find some rest. Go find some food. Go find some refreshment. He says, come. Come unto me. And you will find rest for your souls. Hebrews verse chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Only those who believe can enter into that rest that God provides for us." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it." Rest is found when we trust Jesus Christ. When we trust Him to forgive us. When we trust Him to save us. We need to regularly be reminded of this fact. So often we forget about that. We start aiming to please God by doing more and more, and thinking that by the more we do, God will be more pleased with us. We need to realize that we are saved by His grace. Our position with Christ is secure. It's eternal. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ. And when we realize that our relationship with God is secure and eternal, then and only then we can enjoy rest. True rest for our souls. In Psalm 23, David writes, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." And that "refreshes my soul" means to literally, like, give me my breath back. It's like you've been suffocated, and He gives you your breath back. We had a child that had some asthma problems during Bible school. Until he could get that his inhaler, he was struggling for breath. He refreshes my soul. He gives me my breath back. He restores another way, he restores me as a person. He gives me back my personality that I was created to be. Only when we follow his leading will we find true rest. When we doubt God's ability to give us rest, you know what we do? When we doubt that God can really meet our needs and give us peace, you know what we really gravitate toward? Stuff. Activities. Doing more and more activities. And that's when these vacations all of a sudden exhaust us rather than refresh us. Because we're trying to find that peace in activities or stuff. And we find ourselves spending way too much, doing way too much, and we're exhausted by the time the vacation is over. John 15:4. I want to turn there. John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." This abide means to connect to stay connected with. Failing to connect with Christ can only result in a loss of peace and rest and any chance of rejuvenation. Don't vacate your faith. Embrace it on your vacation. Backing up to chapter 14 of John, verse 27, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Paul talks about this peace. It's a peace that you can't even imagine. You cannot describe it. There are not words to describe the peace that God gives you when you rest in Him, when you go to Him to find your rest. It's unexplainable. Psalm 46 is a wonderful psalm, and I encourage you to maybe read it on your vacation. In the midst of all the noise that surround us, the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the political turmoil, that's kind of one paraphrase of what the first part of that psalm is. In the midst of all that chaos, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." That He is in control. His peace will flood our souls in the midst of the chaos that we may find ourselves. So resting in Christ helps us refocus our attention on Him and His purpose for our lives. The next R, refocus and reevaluate. A vacation can be a time where we can spend some time quietly in a quiet place, reflecting and reevaluating. Is my life reflecting the character of Christ? Have I become more like Him or more like the world? Have I used my gifts in the body of Christ? What does my life look like? Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and it's pleasing and it's perfect." Is my relationship with Christ clear? Spending time away allows you to, when you're resting in God, when you know your position in Christ, it allows you to look a little more clearly at your life and say, am I where I belong? Am I walking in obedience with Christ's word? Are others seeing Christ reflected in my life? It's a good time to evaluate, to step back in the quietness. Maybe it's in the mountain. Maybe it's in some cabin somewhere where you can just sit down and quietly reevaluate. Am I going where God wants me to go? Is my life reflecting the character of God? Are the relationships in my family taken care of the way God wants me to take care of them? Is my purpose clear in life? Romans 8:29 says, our purpose is to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. As we rest in Christ, His will for our lives comes into clearer focus. And as we rest in Christ and refocus on His purpose for us, we can then enjoy life at new depths, new heights, whichever way you want to put it. Life becomes completely different than what the world has to offer. It doesn't leave us thirsting for more or just hungering for more. It fulfills our desires. As we rest in Christ, we can recreate. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. God gives us everything we need for our enjoyment. Enjoy activities that honor God. And expose yourself to His awesome creation. Whenever you get the chance, take a hike in the mountains. Sit by a waterfall. Just be enamored by God's creativity and His presence. Recreate. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13, and several other places in Ecclesiastes, the fruit of our labors are gifts from God, and we should enjoy them. Paul wrote the same thing, and he says, God richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. But it comes encased in a warning, if you notice that. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and to trust their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God. And the warning is the same in Proverbs 21, verse 17. Those who love pleasure become poor. Wrong focus results in spiritual and physical poverty. Pursuing Christ results in a fulfilled life. 2 Timothy 3, 4 says, in the last days, and I think we're in the last days, in the last days, before Christ comes again to judge the world, in the last days, people will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Pleasure can be an idol, become an idol very quickly. Our activities can become an idol very quickly and take the place of God in our lives. Flee idolatry. Become lovers of God rather than lovers of pleasure. John 10:10, Christ came so that we could experience life in its highest form. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that. But we often forget that Christ comes to give us life at a new level that we've never, ever experienced it. That even in suffering, get this, even in suffering, we can find joy. That's the life that God wants us to experience. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Very similar thing in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Vacation for the glory of God. We are to live to glorify God. Rather than seeing vacation as a time to just cut loose and do whatever you please and end up frustrated. Rather, vacation with a purpose. Take time off from your work with a purpose to strengthen your faith, to rebuild your reserves, and to sharpen your focus. I meet with a lot of guys about every other week that have been forced into a vacation. They're forced to reconsider these principles. Don't wait till you're forced into a vacation to deal with these principles of rest. To rest in God, to understand His rest for your soul. And take time to refocus, or God will put you in places where you have to refocus. And when we do these things, we'll be able to recreate in a way that is enjoyable. You come away from a golfing game. I guess it was a game. I don't know what you call it. I was golfing. I was at least golfing. I had fun. I enjoyed it. Lost a couple balls, but hey, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed time with the family. Didn't catch any fish, but it sure was fun to sit in the water. Stand in the water and throw it out there and just do nothing for a little bit. Bowling, well, that's another story. But anyway, I did break 100, by the way, in the next two games. So I didn't beat my brother, but next time. I'm going to brush up. This summer, take some time away from your work, but don't vacate your faith, please. Take your faith with you. Keep these three principles in mind and enjoy spending time with God first and foremost. Take your faith with you instead of returning exhausted, you'll be refreshed, you'll be recharged, and you'll be rejuvenated. And God bless in your time away with God.